Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Day number one, when you're driving through that park, when you're collecting as many leads as you can, stop into the park office right there and introduce yourself.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode and the interview with our best ever guest, I want to mention Fund That Flip, because Fund That Flip is an online lender that gives you fast, convenient access to really affordable money that you need for your flip project. So if you're doing residential flips, then the main thing I imagine that you're focused on, or the main two things, are the deal and the money. So if you've got the deal pipeline, but you need access to cash and you want to build a reputation within a group that will continue to invest their dollars into your deals, then go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. The founder of Fund That Flip is Matt Rodak, and he's actually one of my very first guests on the show. It's episode number 7. So if you have a chance, go check that out too, familiarize yourself with Matt and what he's all about. But when you're needing money and you want an online lender that provides fast, convenient access to affordable capital for your flipping projects, then Fund That Flip's the way to go. Their team has over 200 deals under their belt, and you can actually, this is crazy, you can actually be approved immediately within 30 seconds once you put in your information. So go to fundthatflip.com/best ever and get some money for your flipping projects. Hi, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and we've got a special segment for you today, as it is Saturday. So we've started a series called Situation Saturday, where we put our best ever guest in a situation that we think you're going to find interesting and applicable to your career in real estate investing. And if not directly applicable, then certainly interesting. And then also, I think indirectly applicable, just for how we approach the situation and the mentality that we have during that process. So with us today, we've got a previous best ever guest, John Fedro. How you doing, John?
Doing great. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good to have you on the show again. And John, you can check out John's advice, his best ever advice, on episode 357. There will be a link to that in the show notes page. It's called Wanna Invest in Mobile Homes? Here's Everything You Gotta Know. And if that's not a teaser on what we're going to be talking about today, I don't know what is. John is a full-time real estate investor for 12 years, and he's focused on mobile homes. You can find him at mobilehomeinvesting.net. He's based in Austin. And just for everyone's kind of purposes, just so you know how I approach the guests, I won't ever have anybody on the show twice to talk about their best advice ever, because I think that kind of waters down the purpose of what their best advice ever is. But what I will do is have some previous guests be on different segments of the show, like Situation Saturday and Skill Set Sunday, to get a different, have a different type of conversation with them, if I think it will be valuable to you. So that's what we're doing here. And I'm really grateful that John took some time out of his traveling schedule. It sounds like he's been all over Florida and Kansas, the two typical states that everyone goes to visit in that order.
and is going to give us some good advice on this situation. So here we go. Here's the situation, John. You have $500 to invest, and you want to get started in mobile home investing. What do you do?
Okay, so $500. You want to get started in real estate investing, which is, I think this is a pretty
common... In mobile home investing.
In mobile home investing, absolutely. So you are, I think this is fairly common. I mean, people get, you know, they hear about real estate investing or mobile home investing, you know, and they want to do something. In other types of investing, I'm not sure if it's possible or not, but with mobile homes, it absolutely is. And that's why this question, Joe, is really exciting because... this is absolutely possible. Like your listeners that are listening to this with enough due diligence, with the proper plan, with moving forward correctly, purchasing a decent quality home for 500, keeping your holding costs down to almost nothing, and then reselling it to where you can make a profit, typically selling it for payments and making cash flow every month. I mean, that in and of itself with only $500 is a pretty like grand thing to do. And then you're obviously getting into the business, you made money, so now you can reinvest it more and more. So we're talking about a huge thing here. So so to answer the question, you have $500. The first thing to do is understand clarity in your market. And whenever I'm starting with somebody new, I want them to look at their county, their surrounding counties, and know what's for sale. Not just 5 or 10 homes for sale, but know everything that's for sale. That way you can have a bird's eye view and say, okay, you know, these 5 sellers, they're selling junk. These 10 sellers, they're asking, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. They're just fishing for price. This group of people has to sell their home in 30 days. These group of people have a plethora of time, and these people are already behind on lot rent. And we're gonna talk about mobile homes in parks. Mobile homes can be found on their own private land, which you can invest in, and mobile homes in parks. But for this talk, we're gonna talk just about the parks because they're definitely apples to oranges. They're two separate kind of animals. So buying and reselling a mobile home in a park with just $500, the first thing to understand is clarity. You know, who's out there and what are they selling? So from that point, you want to go ahead and try to make offers to everyone that you can. So realize that there's a mobile home that a seller is asking, well, let me put it this way. You can buy a junky mobile home from California to New England, the northern states to the southern states. You can buy mobile homes for free. You can buy them for $500, for $1,000, $1,500. Now, that home, the one that everyone's thinking about right now in your mind, that can be a real junky home. And it can also be an actually really decent home that you may not even mind living in. It's got the appliances, central heat and air, you know, no soft spots, decent roof, walls, etc. So it really depends not only, you know, on the home that you're buying, but also the motivation of the seller. And that's why I suggest in the very beginning, take that mass approach where you're understanding everything that's for sale. You're making a number of offers that you can. And the offers that you're making a few different offers, maybe cash, maybe payments. I mean, we talked about $500, which if that's all you have in your pocket, my first deal was I paid $3,000 for a home, but I only gave the seller $300 a month, you know, $300 today and then $300 for the next 9 months. So that was one of my very first deals. And that got me into this business because I was basically in the same situation as this Situation Saturday question. So once you get the home, you know, which you've obviously done your searching around, you've been looking at all homes, you've made offers to every seller that you can, to park owners, to park managers on homes that they're selling. So you've talked to a number of people, you've probably got a number of counters. You say, no, Joe, I won't do, you know, I can't do the price that you're asking, but I will do $2,000. I'll sell you my home for $2,000. I'll sell you my home for $3,000, which you can then turn and sell on payments for 5 or 10 or, you know, more times what you invested. But with this question, you only have $500. So some deals, Joe, you'll be passing by. I mean, if you just can't buy them, you know, if you just don't have that money or you don't know anybody with money and you can't talk the seller into payments, then, you know, there's really not too much you can do. Maybe you can wholesale it to somebody else, which is a viable option. But, you know, to actually buy the home, which is what we're talking about, we're making offers to all of those people that have homes for sale currently in your market, which some are really motivated and some are on the other side of the spectrum and aren't that motivated. Then we'll negotiate for 1 or 2, you know, rounds, And if we can be under 500 cash, which believe me, that is a that's a junky home, or that's a decent home. I really want to express that, because 500 is, you know, when we're purchasing a home from sort of an emotional seller sometimes, those are decent quality homes. So I really just want to make a mention of that. This isn't a, you know, slum type of business by any means. It can be if that's what you want, but purchasing better quality homes is definitely the way to go, sort of the path of least resistance. So then we can turn around and resell it, and your exit strategy at that point can be, you know, selling it for all cash and tripling or quadrupling your money, or selling it on payments and making a obviously a significant, you know, greater profit than just selling it for all cash. So I hope that that, I know I left out just a ton of stuff, and that was kind of in a nutshell, maybe a 30,000 foot view. But did that make sense, Joe?
Yeah, it does. So I'm going to do the high level summary of those steps just to make sure I understand them. And then I'm going to ask you some specific questions about that I was writing down as you were talking. One is understand or get clarity in your market. So basically know your market. And two is make offers to everyone that you can. Three is make sure that you close. And then four is you then resell it either to someone else and flipping it, or you sell it on payments to a buyer, right?
That's correct. I would say if there's one thing that I did leave out, quite important, know what your buyers will pay. If you don't know what your buyers will pay, you're going in blind. It's kind of hard to pull comps per se on a mobile home in a park, but there definitely are ways to find out what buyers are paying cash, what they'll pay monthly, what they'll pay as a down payment. So that's kind of one thing that I didn't touch on, which is very crucial to know, because before you make any offers, you should know what people will pay. That way you'll know, okay, I'm going to make my money back in 2 months. I'm going to make my money back in 3 or 4 months. So just something to be aware of and not
okay.
ignorant of.
Okay. So you also have to know what your buyers will pay. So to kind of recap again, one, understand/know your market. Two, make offers to everyone that you can while knowing what the buyers will pay. Then three, close on it, obviously. And then four, sell the property or sell the mobile home on payments, or sell it outright and make a profit on the spread. So let's go to some questions that, you know, I have on some of these. So number one, understand clarity in your market. How do you start finding, you mentioned a couple different things like for how to find the properties. I keep calling them properties. Are they, they're technically not real properties, right? I guess they're technically vehicles. Is that what they are?
They are, well, they're dwellings, they're homes. They're all properties, but they're not real property. They are personal property. They're certainly not vehicles with an engine, but yeah, in many states you're going to the DMV to transfer ownership, just like a car.
Okay. All right. Well, for these mobile homes, how do you find them, and how do you get like clarity? You mentioned clarity in the market, but specifically, what do you do? Like if I'm in front of a computer, I've got my five $100 bills to the left of the computer, and I want to follow your step-by-step process and get clarity in the market, what am I doing?
Okay. So there's not just one way, and we'll talk about the finding deals, which is essentially, you know, a big part of your question.
Right.
So finding deals, the thing I don't want folks to do is just go out to 5 or 10 homes, talk to a seller. They've, you know, the price was 20,000. They talked them down to 10,000. Now they think that they're the best negotiator in the world, and they buy one of those homes. Well, I don't just want people listening to talk to 5 or 10 mobile home sellers. I want them talking to everyone. Again, not just in your county, but the surrounding counties. So that's probably going to be dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of sellers. And in those sellers, you know, we're going to negotiate and obviously find out more about each one and each home. But finding them, so there's a number of ways. I mean, just like traditional real estate, there's not just one way to find all the mobile homes for sale. So I'm a big believer in let's do free and very inexpensive ways to market at first. So the ones that come to mind, most people would think, if we're talking about mobile homes in parks, you're driving through parks and you're writing down these signs that you see, you know, mobile home for sale. I mean, those are the low-hanging fruit of people raising their hands, you know, someone help me, you know, please call me, I have a home for sale. And then we can talk to park managers, which are, again, right at the park. That's free. Maybe you're spending a little bit of gas money. So you're talking to the park manager. What do they have for sale? And then you're doing other forms of marketing, such as putting out different flyers that you have around town and networking with other investors, putting out bandit signs in mobile home dense areas. And then there's other ways that are both free, expensive. You know, some are commonplace, others are unorthodox. But to get everyone that's for sale or currently right now, you know, on today's date, who's got what for sale, and then call everyone and talk to everybody. But what I talked about before, those few like real easy things to do, talking with the management, which is a very important, you know, everyone listening, be prepared to talk to the park manager, be prepared to explain what you're doing in a tactful and clear and, you know, logical manner. That way you can be allowed into the park to invest. Then driving around parks, obviously, hanging up some marketing or doing some direct mail to very specific type of targeted people. Those are just all the, you know, there's many, and then there's many other ways to find mobile homes for sale. But the bulk is, you know, in that, what I just described.
What are the questions that you're asking them? Like, say, for example, the park manager. If I, you know, look online and I see all these different mobile home parks, I see a phone number, I dial it up. What do I say and what do I ask?
So you want to make sure when you're talking to park managers, you understand that when you call them, they hear problems all day. And I'll just kind of say this first. They hear problems all day. They, you know, people want things from them, making excuses to them why they can't pay. So when you go to that park, when you call that park manager, realize that you should be humble. The only reason why you're calling or can do business in there is because you're making their life easier. You're providing value to the park. You're increasing revenue. So with that mindset, when we talk to a park manager, either over the phone or in person, you're introducing yourself. You're letting them know what you want to do, that you want to purchase this home and get approved and then clean it up and fix it up, or you want to move a home into the park. And then it's not going to be for you. You want to sell this home to a park-approved buyer. You don't want to rent it or sublet it, but you want to sell it. And again, to a park-approved buyer. You can sell it for cash. You'll take cash. If you have to take a few payments, then you'll take a few payments. You also want to find out about the park's rules, about future rules that are coming up, or if the park lot rent is going to be increasing. You want to talk about any homes that are for sale, talk about your business, the park, how long that manager's been a manager. And you may get a park manager on the phone that is bored. You know, they have nothing to do that day, so they want to spend 55 minutes talking with you, or they want to invite you in to show you some of their mobile homes that they have for sale that they've gotten back through eviction or abandonment, or somebody's, you know, left them and they had to repossess them, and now they have a home that they don't want. It's clean or it's junky or who knows. So the park manager, you have to give clarity of what you're doing and ask permission. Then you have to, from there, you know, ask as many questions as you can about the park manager, your building rapport, about the park safety, you know, kind of chit-chatting about what you do, that they should follow up with you. You know, I love all mobile homes, fat ones, skinny ones, ugly ones, new ones, old ones. Please, you know, if there's a mobile home in your park, Mr. and Mrs. Park Manager, call me back. I mean, I'll follow up, I promise. If, you know, please solicit my name and number around. And then again, the park manager that you get, some of them may be friendly, woke up on the right side of the bed, and others might not have. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis. But again, talking with all of those park managers, not just 5 or 10 of them, but all of them in your county and the surrounding counties as well. Because remember, Joe, we only have $500. So if there's, you know, of the 100% of sellers, there's probably a few that would be they'd be much more advantageous for you to invest in first than 99% of the other ones. So we really should take that mass approach and then do everything right, talk to all park managers, all sellers, and then consciously make a logical effort, a logical decision. Okay, this home right here, this is going to be the first one, you know, probably, and then these two later down the road, and then maybe these four. So then you can strategically, you know, map out the rest of your year, you know, based on sellers' motivations, which homes you want, etc. I'm not sure if I went off on a tangent or if that made sense.
Yeah. Do you first call them and then visit, or would you recommend visiting them and then following up with a phone call later?
Park managers?
Yeah.
I want to give the right answer for this. So there's two points where you can kind of introduce yourself. There's when you have an appointment in the park, you know, so you're going to a park, you're meeting Mary Lou to sell her home, or she's selling her home. So right before you go to that appointment, then you can go into the park office and say, "Hey, this is my plan. I'm meeting with Mary Lou. She's selling lot 17. You know, this, is there any problems with Mary Lou's home? And this is what I want to do. Is there any problems with that?" So you can do it at that point, which you're only going to the parks now where you have appointments. Or what I would suggest, if people have the courage to do this, let's not waste any time. Day number one, when you're driving through that park, when you're collecting as many leads as you can, stop into the park office right there and introduce yourself.
Okay. That's what you'd recommend doing. And I think the key is what you were starting to say, what you said, like, if you have the courage, well, if you're really serious about this and if that's the best way to do it, then it's not, I don't think it's about the courage. It's like, you just do it. You know, it's like, just find the courage. If you don't have it, then find it. You know, ask someone for it so you can borrow it while you do the visit. Just make that happen.
I love your attitude. Absolutely.
Okay, so you stop into the office, you stop into the park office, and you talk to them. We talked about all the different things. Really quick, how are you making their life easier by increasing revenue? Is it by buying that existing mobile home and fixing it up and selling it for more, and then therefore they'll be able to, the mobile home park will be able to rent it for more?
Increasing revenue, typically that's sort of a two-prong approach. If there's mobile homes that have been in the park where this park does not have a rehab crew, and these parks have been sitting literally for months, if not years, it blows my mind when mobile home park owners have homes in their parks that they can just fix up, resell, and make money on, or at least lot rent on. So you can increase a park revenue by fixing those homes up and then putting good people in and, you know, having them pay lot rent. So that would increase the revenue. Or you can physically move mobile homes into the park. A lot of parks aren't at 100% capacity. So you can move that mobile home into the park. Now where there was nothing, you know, now they're getting an extra $300 a month, $600 a month, whatever it might be.
Would you say talking to park managers is the number one tactic as far as effectiveness for understanding the market and finding offers?
No, I would say talking with sellers would be the most important thing. I did ask that question about park managers in the Facebook group that we have a couple weeks ago, and I was asking, you know, of your deals that you close, what percentage of leads come from park managers? And depending on who was answering the question, it was between 20 and 40%, which is a big piece of the pie. So don't get me wrong, I mean, park managers are the gatekeepers to the park. They can throw you leads, they can love you, they can hate you. So very, very important. But as far as the, one of the most important things, no, I would say sellers. But a close second would probably be park managers, and then park managers, and then so on.
Yeah, park managers are really the gatekeepers. So park managers are the way to scale it, because I imagine if you're talking to a seller, then he or she's going to be selling their mobile home, but they likely don't, you might not be working with them again, at least for a while. Whereas with the park manager, once you establish those relationships, that's more of a long-term play and not a one-off scenario, right?
Great comment. Really great comment. A couple things to note is that when you, anyone listening to my voice, if you have a dozen mobile homes in your portfolio, they're all cash flowing you, two dozen mobile homes, three dozen, the folks that I'm working with, and these, you know, not just my numbers, but if you have a couple dozen properties, you're probably only in five, maybe six or seven parks total, and that might be a lot. So you're absolutely right that the park managers are the goose, you know, that lays the golden egg, so to speak, or rather they can be, especially when you prove yourself in that park. And now they know, okay, Joe's, you know, he does what he says he's going to do. He follows up. You know, he's somebody that we want to work with. But you're probably only going to be involved in just a small handful of parks. So while there's only maybe five or 10 park managers that are sending you deals regularly, mobile home sellers, mobile home owners, they know other mobile home owners. They know other mobile home sellers. And unfortunately, mobile homeowners, I mean, I won't say majority of the time, but sometimes are paycheck to pay to paycheck. So when those sellers need to sell, they often confide in their friends. And I've gotten a number of deals from people who've said no to me. You know, I've made an offer to buy their home. They said, no, John, I'm sorry. You know, it just doesn't work for me. Completely understandable. But they've liked me and trust me enough to refer me to their friends whose homes I have purchased. So just, and that was kind of a mind-blowing experience for me. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing to get such great word of mouth from people I didn't even buy their homes from. So, but yes, I mean, kind of, so what you said was absolutely valid. And if we were doing deals in 20 or 30 parks, I would say park managers are the, you know, best thing in the world. But because we're only dealing with a handful, I would say, again, sellers are probably the most important, and then park managers, if that made sense.
Yeah, so sellers is number one. And you mentioned some things already, putting flyers around town, networking with other investors, mobile home signs for sale, for sale signs. What would be the number one way to find the sellers?
Out of any of it.
It doesn't have to be those that you mentioned already, but just in general, what's the number one way to find sellers? If working with sellers is the best way to get a close on a property or a purchase, mm-hmm. then what's the best way to find the seller in your experience?
Definitely the top ways, and I don't know if I would say best, with best is like bang for your buck. Or best is, you know, the number of deals that you're getting, or the ones where you don't have to do any work and they just call you. So park managers, Craigslist is very good. Signs around the area are very good. I have to say, to answer your question, the best way is talking with sellers. So anytime you can call a seller that has a home for sale, you can put your you can plant your seed in their mind where they understand that you're serious, you buy mobile homes, you like their home, you want to set an appointment. Anytime you can get in front of that seller, so whether that is Craigslist or signs or talking to park managers or driving around parks or a number of other ways, I guess if I had to say one, man, they're putting me on the spot there.
The non-answer is actually the answer, because nothing stands out to you. So sounds like they're all created equal, and you need to be diversified in what you're doing to market to sellers, from Craigslist to signs around the area to networking with park managers and work and talking to other investors. Is that a fair assessment?
Correct. Yes. Okay. I remember a quote a while ago from one of my mentors that said, you know, I'd rather have 12 strategies, you know, lead magnets out there, you know, finding me deals, than just one great one that's bringing in all of my leads, you know, even if it's a bunch of leads.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And that's just, I don't know if that's the way that the world is, but that is the way that at least mobile home investing is. So there's a lot of great ones, I guess, is what I'm saying. I can't pick like the greatest one because there's so many good ones.
All right. And so number two, you said make offers to everyone you can and know what your buyers will pay. How do you know how much to offer?
So we want to, the folks listening to my voice right now, you can, one mistake that you can make, there's a number of like core mistakes that I see people without education making with mobile home investing. And one of them is overpaying. Probably the first one is just overpaying for a mobile home. So it's so easy to overpay. So with that said, we have to know what our buyers will pay before we make any offers on mobile homes. And I really want folks setting the bar high. So everyone listening to my voice, the only mobile homes you should be buying is if you're going to be paying cash for these homes, not payments, but you're going to be, you know, paying the seller cash. You should make all of your invested money, including holding costs and repair costs. You should make all of your money back in 10 months maximum, with ideally like 6 months or less, you're making all of your money back. But you want to make it back very quickly and then have another 4 or 5 years worth of cash flowing payments to go ahead and, you know, have come in. So that's one thing. So just, you know, the only deals I would like people to buy is when you're making your money back very quickly, and then you're making $300 net cash flow minimum per month when you resell it on payments. So that's sort of like the litmus test of, okay, should I do this deal? But you don't know if you can make that amount unless you don't know what your buyers are paying. So it's very important to know what our buyers are paying. So if buyers in one area will pay, let's say, $750, you know, and it's probably a range.
And where do you get this info? What buyers will pay?
this is a combination of a few things, combination of asking park managers, of asking buyers yourself, creating a buyer's list, finding out what people will pay, hearing it directly from the horse's mouth. You know, hearing, okay, what will you pay? How much do you have to move into a home that you really like? What do you want to stay around monthly? What area of town? Will you do some cosmetic repairs to the home in lieu of a lower move-in fee? You know, all the sort of important questions, because you want to know what your public will obviously pay. So then you can say, you know, if someone will pay $750 and give you, let's say $2,000 as a move-in fee, so $750 a month is coming in. You have an outgoing of $350 for the lot rent, of course. So $400 is what you would be making. $400 times 10 months, because we want to make our money back in 10 months or less. So we have the $400 times 10 months is $4,000, plus $2,000 as a move-in fee. So that's $6,000 is what you can expect to make. Conservatively, you know, make sure these numbers are conservative. So after 10 months, I know I'm probably going to make $6,000. So for this particular home, my maximum offer, should be around $6,000, which really I can just tell you from experience, East Coast to West Coast, $6,000 is kind of on the upper end, $6,000-$8,000 of what we'll pay. So we're typically getting most homes for that, you know, $2,000 to $4,000 mark, decent quality homes.
So very quickly, why do people buy mobile homes instead of buying single family homes or renting single family homes?
Good question. So the answers vary. After 2008, I was selling a lot of my homes to people that had been in bad situations with single family homes. So they came from single family home living, and now they're saying, wait, you mean I can own this mobile home? I was paying, you know, $150 per square foot in my house, and which, you know, might have got foreclosed on, might have, you know, we had to sell it and or whatever. And then now they're going into mobile homes. So people just logically see the value. I mean, I'm not selling to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people are blue collar. A lot of people are white collar. So they just understand the value. You know, you're not going to be twisting anyone's arm. Buy this junky home. You know, let me fool you into buying something that's not a good value. So you're selling a good value, a good quality home. So people see that. I mean, a lot of people will just turn their noses and say, oh, mobile home, no thank you, click. But a lot of folks want that value. You know, they want to buy a mobile home for $30 a square foot or $50 a square foot for a nice home that they can live in. And then once they pay it off, they just pay lot rent and then they can do whatever they want with it. So
step three is close on it. And then step four is sell on payments. Very tactical question on sell on payments. And then we'll close this out. When you sell on payments, how do you set up the payment plan? Because I imagine if someone's buying a mobile home that's worth $500 and you're selling it for, I don't know, $1,500, would that be fair? Would that be a fair spread? They might not have a checking account. So are you receiving a check in the mail from them every month? And like just logistically, how does that work?
Sure. Well, I'd like to make a correction, and maybe I didn't hear your numbers right. So buying it for $500.
You probably heard them right. I didn't. I don't know. I don't know what I'm selling my $500 mobile home for.
So we buy it for $500. If we could only sell it for $1,500, $3,000, $4,000, this would not be a lucrative business. I mean, and not lucrative, but it just wouldn't give us the capital or the drive to keep doing it, to keep helping people, buyers and sellers, parks, a community. So when we're buying them for $500 or $5,000, we're selling them for $15,000. We're selling them for $20,000, $35,000.
You're buying a $500 mobile home, and what are we going to sell it for?
We wouldn't sell it for anything less than 5 years. At $300 a month, we're looking at about $18,000 right there. I'd like to make a distinction, because the homes that we're buying $500, sellers were probably asking a month or two, 3 months ago, they were probably asking $10,000 for that home, or $8,000, and then $5,000. We didn't just find it at $500. If you find a $500 home, it's probably a piece of junk that the seller's just trying to get anybody in there to pay them anything, because they know that the home is junk and the market's obviously spoken. The market won't even pay $500 for it. So the homes we're buying for $500, for free, for $5,000, they're worth, you know, even cash. If somebody wanted to pay cash, if we held it on the market, somebody would come in and pay double or triple that amount for cash. But so if we're buying for $500 with cash, we're selling it for least $14,000 or $15,000. I mean, or we really shouldn't even do the deal. So anyway, going back to those, to the question about closing and reselling, anyone listening, there's new laws that came out a few years ago, SAFE Act, Dodd-Frank, myriad of other Truth in Lending Acts. If you're not trained and you don't understand what I'm talking about there, make sure you consult an attorney or make sure you're following somebody that knows what they're doing, because it's very easy to get in big trouble. So with that said, the how we're collecting payments used to do everything by mail, which was terrible. You know, people will always make the excuse, oh, I sent it last Friday. What do you mean you didn't get it? Weird. It must have been held up and blah, blah, blah. So we don't do that. The couple ways I like to have people make deposits or pay for the home is they're going to go into the bank and they're just going to – they have the account number of the business account that they pay on, and they're going to make a, you know, $750 check or cash and put it right into the bank. That way they get a deposit slip back, or not a deposit slip, a receipt back. It shows how much they paid, when they paid it. And of course I get to see right on my computer, you know, I'll log into my bank and it shows right there. It shows how much they paid, who they were. Or you can use a system called clearnow.com, which is good, and that does automatic payments. Or they can set themselves up on an automatic draft, and then every month the $750 just goes right into your account. So there's a number of ways to do it, but I absolutely would steer people away from just collecting it by mail.
Yeah, I agree. Much better. John, thank you for being on the show and Situation Saturday and answering the question of, what do I do if I have $500 and I want to get into mobile home investing? And talking through your four-step process. You didn't call it that, but I numbered it because you gave me four steps. One is understand clarity and get clarity in your market. Two, make offers to everyone that you can and know what buyers will pay. Very important, the second part of number two, know what buyers will pay. Number three is you close on that puppy, and four is you sell it, ideally on payments, so that you're making the money pay you back in 6 months, ideally 6 to 9 months, and then another 4 to 5 years of cash flows after the fact. Talking about all the different ways to find the properties, going back to step number one, and how park managers will get you a lot of leads and long-term leads, but ultimately you want to talk directly to the sellers. So really have a healthy mix of both seller direct outreach and then more of the long game of working with the park managers. Whenever you speak to the park managers, focus on how you're helping increase their revenue by fixing up the homes that are vacant and getting them to be move-in ready, and talking to them about getting a park approved buyer. You put emphasis on park approved buyer a couple times, so I think that's probably a key phrase that you want to use whenever you're speaking to them, and know the park's rules and what they're looking for and help make their life easier, because as you said, they're probably dealing with problems all day long, so it's nice to have someone come in and talk solutions to them. So thank you for being on the show and talking about Situation Saturday and this in particular. And where is the best ever place for the listeners to find more about you?
They can reach me at mobilehomeinvesting.net. A lot of great free information there.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, John. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
If you need money for your flipping project, then go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. You'll know within 30 seconds if you're approved or not to get money for your residential flip. Go to fundthatflip.com/best ever.